Peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Luke, in the fourth chapter of his gospel, reports that Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath, as was his custom. When he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, from which he read the opening words of our text for this Monday of the third week of Advent 2002. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is where Jesus stopped. He rolled up the scroll, returned it to the attendant, and as everyone listened intently to hear what he would say, he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Luke reports that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Until Jesus expands the promises of our text to include also the Gentiles. The widow of Zarephath in Elijah's time, Naaman the Syrian in Elisha's time, and us in our time. Then things got ugly. Jesus was challenging the status quo of society, the popular beliefs of the people. "It's not enough to be Jewish," he was essentially saying. "You need to believe and to trust like the widow and like Naaman." In our day, I suspect there would be those who would have criticized Jesus because he stopped in the middle of the passage. And he left off the phrase which says in whole, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." But Jesus intentionally stops where he does because he's about joy and the salvation which he came to proclaim. A day of joy and salvation for all people who will believe. The day of vengeance comes later. The day of vengeance comes in his own death on the cross when Satan's head is crushed and the justice of our God is fulfilled. And it will come at the end of time for those who refuse the gift of salvation. So for now we proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That really is what our text and what this season, indeed all of our days as the children of God, is all about. The reference here is to the Levitical laws of Leviticus chapter 25, which established the year of the Jubilee. And Jesus' point in saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," is for us to understand that his birth and his coming have ushered in the Messianic age, when salvation would be proclaimed not just for a year, not just in Israel, but throughout the world. He has come to comfort all who mourn, provide for all who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And now he calls on us to rejoice in that gladness and in that praise, and he invites us to share it with others. The thing about the year of Jubilee is that, having been established, it appears to have been largely forgotten and rarely observed. References to it in the history of Israel just aren't very much there. And no wonder. It was to be a time of radical change in society. Debts were to be canceled. Indentured servants and slaves were to be liberated. The land which had been sold was to be returned to its family ownership and its original owners. And in fact, in the out years when land was sold, its value was to have been evaluated, calculated by taking into account the proximity of the next year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was to have truly been the year of the Lord's favor, as people were again able to rejoice in God's gift to them of freedom, security, and love. But it meant giving up some things which they had come to possess, to value highly. One rabbi has written, "The Jubilee laws bring home to the people that the land and freedom are divine gifts, and that ownership reverts to those to whom he wills it. If people realize that, it will help them, help influence them to refrain from cheating and stealing, because it will reflect the lesson that there is a supreme owner." And now we are called to the joy of the Jubilee of Advent, to the reminder that our God is in charge, that this is the year of the Lord's favor, that the baby born in Bethlehem is Jesus, our Savior, who brings us joy and gives us salvation. And we want to rejoice in that. But sometimes that's tough. It's really hard to feel the joy some days, isn't it? The quarter break is looming at the end of this week. As it approaches, so do tests and papers and assignments and the desire to cut maybe some of those last classes in order to head for home. But that might affect our grades. Now what? For the world of which we are a part, this is also a stressful time. Those who are alone feel the loneliness more than ever during this season. Suicides and despair are more frequent now than at any other time of the year. We're called upon to spend more, decorate more, eat more, party more, do more with less time, and we wonder how should we, the church, respond. The answer comes back the way Jesus responds. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the time of Jubilee, as we remember that everything and all that we have and all that we do belongs to and comes from God, and he is ours and we are his. Focus on Jesus. Proclaim Jesus. Celebrate God's greatest gift to mankind. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So in our families, let's celebrate God's gifts, not our gifts. Let's rejoice in Jesus, who in the words of the prophet Malachi will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. In our preaching and in our teaching during this season, we remember that this is a time of the year more than any other when the whole world, or at least a significant portion of it, pauses to celebrate the birth of Jesus, a Christian festival, even if they don't know what Christmas means. Let's tell them what it means. Not attack the materialism and the shallowness of their celebrations, especially from the pulpits of our churches where we're speaking to the people of God who want to know about God and celebrate the Advent Jubilee. Our job in this year of the Lord's favor, this season of Jubilee, is to proclaim the glory of God in the face of Jesus, to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Then they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, now keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, the baby born in Bethlehem, who ushers in the Advent Jubilee. Amen.